MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Kobus Loubser, Curo CEO. Results for year ending December 24th, saw revenue up 8%, HEPS up 13%, dividend as well. Kobus, appreciate the time. The big number for you, of course, is learners flat for the period, lower 2025 enrollments. I'm imagining this is not that anything's fundamentally changed within Curo. This is more perhaps an indication of the state of our economy and our consumer.
Yeah, Simon, thanks for having me on the show and for taking an interest. I mean, I think you're right. If I reflect on 2024, it was an exceptional year for Curo. It was a remarkable year in many ways. We had our best matric results ever. We had record performances on the sports field and cultural and, you know, kind of activities, record levels of engagement. And I'm very proud of the education that we offered and the opportunities that we created in 2024. So in that context, I guess it's frustrating that all of that success did not translate to that many more learners. But maybe we must just also be realistic about it, is that we still have more than 72,000 learners in our schools, and that's a lot of kids and a lot of demand and a lot of interest. And we did sign up 14,600 new learners. That number admittedly about 1,000 lower than in 2023. And of course, from our perspective, we would have liked to see that more. But our core task is to offer education and to do so at an exceptional level. And I'm very proud of the success we had in 24, certainly looking forward to 25, because we just expect more of that in this year.
Yeah. And not to take away from your other 70-odd thousand learners, but you also got an Olympic medal by proxy. We shouldn't bury that for a moment. You've got about capacity for another sort of 30,000-odd learners. Are those concentrated in certain geographic, or is that broadly across the group?
It's relatively broadly across the group. And I think, you know, that in a way it would have been easier if, yeah, you know, there was big weakness in particular regions or particular areas. But I think South Africa is at the moment in a moment where we're not really growing. And that, yeah, exerts, you know, kind of pressure across the board. So it's not really an urban versus rural story. It's not really this region versus that. It's not really between models. If I kind of connect the dots, you know, we're very proud that the retention of learners within our system actually improved in 2024, which we think endorses the experience that they have and our strategies to create more opportunities. So that's a very positive thing for us. But if I look at the kind of, I guess, the weakness, it still is with younger families and younger grades. And I think we've done a lot of work in that area to make sure that facilities are shipshape, to make sure that, you know, price points are a little bit more attractive. And, mm-hmm, and there's more work that we must do in that regard to recapture some market share there. The simple fact is that, you know, it really makes a difference for a child to experience excellent education early. You, yeah, know, the ability to develop, you know, literacy, reading skills, mathematical ability, and numeracy, to do that early is very, very powerful, you know, in the rest of their academic professional careers. So we want to make it easier and as easy as possible for families to join as early as possible. It's discernible the difference that we see later on for learners that had an exceptional start to life, and we want to try and give that to them.
Yeah, and perhaps that retention number is the better metric in a sense, that once they're in this system, they stay there. And this, of course, all plays into credit losses. I mean, you talk around people being poorer. We had GDP, 0.6%, population growth is, I don't know, 1.5%. We are literally poorer, and that does then show in the credit losses that have gone up.
I think so. I mean, the credit losses did surprise us a little bit in the sense that we've actually, over the last maybe 2-3 years, we've had great success with improving collections, improving, you know, the kind of aging of accounts and so on. We've sophisticated processes. We've engaged very effectively with parents. Mm-hmm. And things certainly did, again, the first half of 24 was an improvement on 23. But in the second half, and that, again, I think does speak to an economy where people perhaps anticipated or hoped for more relief from interest rates, yeah, a quicker improvement in inflation, and that didn't really sort of play out like that. So, you know, I think a lot of families bowed out, you know, that, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get back. But families remain under pressure. And from a financial perspective, we are custodians of shareholder capital, mm-hmm, and we have to evaluate risk and we have to account for that. So we had a look at there's about 100 million rand increase in our debtors book. You know, we kind of provided for much of that. Because we don't know. There's risk, and we will always be prudent about how we view these things.
You've also got your two newish campuses in Namibia. This is a joint venture. How's that doing? I mean, certainly sort of the moving beyond our borders is sometimes fraught with risk, but I suspect Namibia a lot less so.
You know, if you compare the two new schools, one is in Walvis Bay. And, you know, Walvis Bay is a well-known, established, you know, harbor. There's a lot going for it at the moment for Namibia as well. And so we've established a school there. It's beautiful. It's in the, it's literally kind of right next to you at the Namib Desert kind of starting in our backyard. So it's spectacular from that perspective. And, you know, we're excited about its potential. And then the other school is in a town called Ongwediva. Ongwediva sits next to Ondangwa. And it's way north in Namibia. And it's just a spectacular oasis in that area. Lots of interest, lots of excitement from an area that's fundamentally been underserved by quality education and private education. I mean, that whole strip in the Caprivi all the way across to Damaraland. So from that perspective, a wonderful initiative, lots of excitement. We've seen good growth already. And I think it just demonstrates that if you can put a proper product in front of a community who's hungry for the opportunity and aspires to access it, you can do well.
Oliver Dale, Skobus Lopesha, Akira CEO, always appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.